So we're going to be talking about this morning a topic, Rise Up, Priests of God. Rise Up, Priests of God. We're living in a time and an age where there's a lot of people running in fear. There's a lot of people who are hiding out. There's a lot of people who are concerned about their well-being and their health, and rightly so. But God has given us a mandate, even in the midst of this dysfunction that's taking place. And so I want us to read a passage of Scripture found in 2 Chronicles 29, but before I do, I'm going to give you a little backdrop. So in 2 Chronicles 29, Hezekiah is the king of Israel. His dad, Ahaz, was a wicked king. And Ahaz had done some things in Israel that had been kind of unheard of before. He began worshiping the Baals, brought in images. He actually sacrificed his children to these false gods, burned them to the glory of these false gods. He took the vessels out of the temple and cut them up, vessels that the priests would use in their daily sacrifices. He cut them up so that they couldn't use them anymore. He shut the temple doors and said, nobody is to come and worship the Lord anymore. Pretty wicked guy. When he passed away, his son Hezekiah took the throne, and Hezekiah said, I'm not going to do as my dad did. Our country is in a mess. And their country was in a mess because during Ahaz's time, the Lord allowed nation after nation after nation to come in and to conquer Judah and to conquer Jerusalem. And so they were in a pretty devastating situation. Hezekiah thought, perhaps it's because we haven't been serving our Lord and serving Him the way He asked us to. Perhaps that's the reason that we're in the situation we're in. And so he decided to bring some reforms to the nation of Judah, to Jerusalem. Now, let me just say this. I want to say there may be a parallel between what's going on with the coronavirus. Probably more than a maybe. I think there's, the Lord has just, we have chosen not to follow the Lord. We have chosen to push God out of our nation. And actually, if you look all over the world, it's pretty much the same all over the world. And the world has said, we don't want to have anything to do with God. We're going to push Him out. We want to close the church doors. We want to have nothing to do with Him. And so when we choose not to follow God, we allow the enemy front row seat in our life, in our nation, in the world. So Hezekiah saw this in Judah. Saw this in Jerusalem, and he said, perhaps I can make a difference. And so let's read, beginning with 2 Chronicles 29. And I'll get out of the way. I don't know if you can, those of you at home, you may not be able to read this on the screen, but we're in 2 Chronicles 29, verses 3 through 12. And I'm reading out of the New King James Version. In the first year of his reign, talking about Hezekiah, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Then he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them in the east square. And he said to them, hear me, Levites, now sanctify yourselves, sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry out the rubbish from this holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done evil in the eyes of the Lord our God. They have forsaken Him, have turned their faces away from the dwelling place of the Lord, and turned their backs on Him. They have also shut up the doors of the vestibule, put out the lamps, and have not burned incense or offered burnt offerings in the holy place to the God of Israel. Therefore, the wrath of the Lord fell upon Judah and Jerusalem. He has given them up to trouble, to desolation, and to jeering, as you see with your eyes. For indeed, because of this, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons, our daughters, and our wives are in captivity. Now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that His fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before Him, to serve Him, that you should minister to Him and burn incense. Then the Levites arose. I want to read verse 11 and 12 because this is our text pretty much for today, verses 11 and 12. My sons, do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before Him, to serve Him, that you should minister to Him and burn incense. And then the Levites arose. I love this passage of Scripture. I love Hezekiah. He's one of my favorite kings. And I love the way that he tried to bring reforms, and he actually did bring reforms to Jerusalem, to Judah. If you read some of the rest of the story, there was a king of Sennacherib later on who tried to enter in and war against Jerusalem, and God protected them. And it was because of what Hezekiah did. It was because of the reforms that Hezekiah put forth. People began worshiping the Lord again. They began celebrating the Lord again at the different feasts, at the Passovers, at the Feast of Shelters. The Lord was all over that. He was very pleased with what Hezekiah was doing, and so he protected Judah. So, I love that story, but I think it has some application for us today as well. So, who are the Levites today? In those days, so Jacob had 12 sons. The third son, there was Judah, Reuben, and the third son was Levi. And God chose the third son of Jacob, the Levitical tribe, to be priests for him. To be priests for the people, to do the things that were necessary in the temple to bring honor and glory to God. And if you read in Scripture, it seems like that when everyone else was doing wrong, the Levites held their place. They stood strong. And they continued to serve the Lord regardless of what everybody else was doing. Some may say that the priests of today are Greek Orthodox. Some others may say that it's anyone who's a pastor in a church. Some may say that a priest is the leader of a Roman Catholic church. Well, many years ago, there was a Reformation in the world, basically. From 1517 to about 1648, and there was this reformation of the church. And they came to the understanding, and it was being proclaimed, and some people lost their lives because they were proclaiming that every believer is a priest. Every believer is a priest. That did not sit well with the Roman Catholic Church at the time, because they had a hierarchy and they felt like there were only certain people who could be priests. Well, what does Scripture say? Let's look at Scripture. I don't want to go to what the Reformers said. I don't want to go to what the Catholic Church said. I want to know what God says. Would you like to know who the priests are today? Okay. Look, if you would, at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. He says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." He said, you are a chosen. So who is He talking about? You are a chosen generation, a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. Who is He talking about? Well, He's actually talking about you and I. If we are a believer in Jesus Christ, He's talking about you and me. If you look in Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 through 10, it says, and they sang a new song. So these are people in heaven. And they're singing a new song. And it's the song goes like this. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on earth. Revelation 1, 5 through 6 says this, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to Him who loves us and released us from our sins by His blood, and He has made us to be a kingdom, priest to His God and Father. To Him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So according to those passages of Scripture, who is the Lord proclaiming that are the priests of this nation? We are. We are. You are. You are. You are. You are, and myself. It's not just the pastor who is the priest. It's every single one of us. Okay. So now, I want us to look at the duties of the priest that Hezekiah laid out for these guys. And gals. Well, at that time, it was not gals, but it was only guys. But I want you to talk, I want to talk to you as a group, sons and daughters of God, not just the sons of God. Sons and daughters, if you're a daughter of God, you are a priest as well. Okay? So, the first duty that we find for the priests that Hezekiah laid out is they were to prepare for ministry. Prepare for ministry. If there's ever been a time in our history when we need a group of people, a group of Christians, to be diligent in their faithfulness to the Lord, now is the time. Now is the time. People are hurting. People are in fear. People are panicking. People have no hope. But you, brothers and sisters, have the answer for what's ailing people. What we find out is, from this passage of Scripture, before we can minister to other people, before we can help others, Hezekiah said to the Levites, you've got to sanctify yourself. You've got to prepare yourself for ministry. And did you know that they were unable, the priests were unable to do their job if they had not prepared themselves, if they had not sanctified themselves, if they had not cleansed themselves for the preparation of the work? So what Hezekiah told the Levites, he says, you've got a job to do. Before you do your job, you've got to get rid of stuff in your life. God has already called you. He's called each one of you. And He said, I've called you to be a priest. I've called you to be a holy people. And He has set you apart for that. But then we have to say, am I going to set myself apart? And am I going to do the work necessary in my life that's going to help me prepare to minister to the people God brings my way? So this is what the call is to for you to prepare yourself. There's a lot of people that needs ministering to. And it's left up to the pastors only, it's not going to happen. A lot of people that needs ministry. So how do you do this? So you confess every known sin in your life. Ask the Lord's forgiveness. Turn away from those sins. And if you sin again, confess, repent, turn away. Confess, repent, turn away. Scripture says that if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. Draw near to God, he will draw near to us. Resist the devil, and he will flee from us. So I'm just going to tell you, you just keep resisting, you keep confessing, you keep repenting. Every day, you need to prepare yourself for what God has in store for the people that you're going to be meeting. And you need to prepare your heart for what's going to take place. I want you to get this. People depending on you. It's a matter of life and death. It's a matter of heaven and hell. Did you know that there are more people afraid of the coronavirus than there are going to hell? And there's more people afraid of getting the coronavirus than they are of sharing Christ with other people. I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but we're all going to die sometime. Okay? We're all going to die sometime. But why not die serving the Lord? Why not die with a pure heart? We're all going to die unless Jesus takes us out. So sanctify means to set apart. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? This church, as believers, are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if you notice, the Scripture said to the Levites, I want you to go into the temple, and I want you to cleanse the temple itself. I want you to cleanse every room. I want you to cleanse the altar. I want you to clean everything up so that we can worship again. And so they went in there, and they began to take out every filthy thing in the temple. We have a responsibility as members of this church, of members of this congregation, that when we come, we have a pure heart. We need to cleanse the temple. We need to cleanse our lives so that we can be presentable to the Lord. Romans 12:1-2, therefore I urge you, brethren, I'm urging you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that will of God. See, prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. If we refuse to cleanse ourselves and to prepare our hearts and minds, we're going to miss a golden opportunity. Golden opportunity to bring people into the kingdom. We need to sanctify ourselves. We need to do what the Holy Spirit says, not what fear tells us to do. The second thing that we must do as priests, Scripture says, is that we need to stand before the Lord. To stand in His presence. Verse 11, my son, don't be negligent. The Lord has chosen you. The Lord has chosen you to stand before Him. What does that mean? It basically means we're to dwell there. We're to abide in His presence. We talked here last year, beginning in October, about the God zone. You remember the God zone? Learning to abide in His presence. Not allowing emotions to rule us. Allowing the Holy Spirit to dictate to us what we're to do and what we're not to do. That is abiding in Christ. We need to stand before the Lord. We need to get His direction, not the direction of our emotions. We need to get the direction of the Lord. We need to walk in peace. And we need to walk in assurance. We need to walk in faith, knowing that God has our back. We need to know that. If you don't know that, you haven't spent enough time with the Lord. You haven't gotten your heart right with the Lord. If you don't know where you're standing, I want to encourage you to stand with the Lord. Abide with Him. We talked about Psalm 91. Those who are under the shelter of the Most High are protected. That's abiding. John 15, it says there's a lot of promises. You read John 15, there's so many promises given to those who abide in Christ. Your prayers are answered. The love of God is just poured out upon you. I want to encourage you, church, abide, abide, abide. Stand before the Lord. Hear His voice. Let Him tell you what to do. And do it. And do it. And do it. We can't run and hide. So, Paul, you remember Paul? One time he was stoned, and they thought stoned to death. They threw rocks at him, thought they'd killed him, and maybe they did. Well, after everybody left, he dug out from under the rocks, got up, went back into town and started preaching again. One time, Paul was... So they were going to come after him, and the Christians encouraged him to leave, and they let him out of a window, and he went to another place. When Paul was determined to go to Jerusalem, there was a prophet named Agabus who came to him and said, Paul, let me have your belt. And so Paul took off his belt and gave it to him. And Agabus tied his hands like this and said, the Lord has said to me that whoever owns this belt, if you go to Jerusalem, you're going to be handed over to the Gentiles. And all the Christians said, don't go, Paul. Don't go, Paul. Don't go, Paul. And you know what Paul did? He said, I got a job to do in Jerusalem. It kind of reminds me. So it reminds me of a song. It's a country song. It's not a good song. You got to know when to hold them. Got to know when to fold them. Got to know when to run away. And something else. And know when to run. Know when to walk away and know when to run. The only time you know, how are you going to know that if you're not listening to the Holy Spirit? How do you know that if you're not listening to the Holy Spirit? Paul listened to the Holy Spirit and he did what the Holy Spirit told him to do. So, do not let fear rule your life. Amen? Okay. Third duty of the priest is to minister to the Lord. Minister to the Lord. So, my sons, do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before Him, to serve Him, that you should minister to Him and burn incense. To serve Him, to minister to Him. How do you minister to the Lord? You may have some different thoughts. These are my thoughts. When you're standing before the Lord, you need to offer Him praise. You need to offer Him thanksgiving. Regardless of what's going on around you, you need to remember who's on the throne. You need to remember that coronavirus is not on the throne. You need to remember that fear is not on the throne. You need to remember who is on the throne. And where you focus the most, that's what's going to have dominion in your life. And if you focus on the Lord, He will have dominion in your life. And if you focus on His faithfulness, His goodness, His love, His power, His strength, His might, His graciousness, if you focus on the attributes of the Lord, man, that will lift you out of the pit. If you focus on the coronavirus, and if you focus on fear and anxiety and stress, that's going to take you into the pit. You may not be aware of it, but fear, come on in, Sandy. You may not be aware of it, but fear will actually cause your immune system to be depleted and you'll be more susceptible to diseases. The doctors will tell you that. Okay? So, minister every day. Minister to the Lord. Minister to the Lord. Minister to the Lord. Minister to the Lord. Lift Him up. Praise Him. Acknowledge Him. Exalt Him. Give Him the praise that's good. Minister to the Lord. Then this passage of Scripture, and I've changed the next one is that we minister for the Lord. My sons, do not be negligent, for the Lord has chosen you to stand in His presence to minister to Him and to be His ministers. And to be His ministers. You know, oftentimes during this type of season, maybe all seasons, this is something that probably, well, I fight and probably many of you, just being selfish. I'm a selfish dude. I like to look out for Brad and my well-being. But we as Levites are not just to look out for our own well-being, we're to look out for the well-being of others. We can't be hoarders, we have to be givers. And it's okay to prepare. Matter of fact, I think there's more to come. Okay? But if we don't learn how to be godly now, if we don't learn how to walk in the Spirit now, if we don't learn how to share now, if we don't know how to give now, if we can't bless others now, we're not going to do it later. We're not going to do it later. Now is the time. Now is the time. Minister not only to the Lord, but we need to minister to other people. You know, so who do you think is behind this social distancing? Is that God? It's not China. You know what? Satan is behind this. Because he does not want us to share Christ with someone else. Oh, they might have COVID-19. Oh, they may have a cough. Oh. Well, you might hear me talk out of both sides of my mouth, and that's not what I'm intending to do. But if you've got a health problem, just like you would at any other time of your life, if you find, you know, stay away from people that may have the flu, stay away from people that have pneumonia. I mean, I kind of like to do that myself, okay? But did you know that you can call people on the phone and that coronavirus is not going to affect you? Did you know that? Did you know that you could FaceTime people and the coronavirus is not going to affect you? I would just suggest this, and I don't know how people will take it, but let's see if you're in the store and you see somebody freaking out. You could say, hey, can I pray for you? So keep your 6-foot distance if that's what they need. Here's the deal. God has gifted every one of you in certain ways. Don't lay down your gifts. Don't lay down your gifts. My wife has a gift of hugs. She loves to hug. And as many people as will allow her to, she will hug them. Okay? Well, that's your gift. There's something, for some reason, when she hugs somebody, it breaks something. And she has a gift of hugs. So, if you want a hug, my wife will give you a hug. If you don't go near her. Use what God has given you to accomplish what God desires for you to accomplish. If you run in fear, if you hide in fear, you'll never be able to accomplish what God has for you. We need to minister to the Lord, and we need to minister for the Lord. We need to, when we are out and about, we need to walk with our ears wide open to the Holy Spirit. Because there's someone that the Lord may have you touch, pray for, encourage. People need us. People need us. We are the only ones who have the answer. People need us. The next thing we need to do is to offer incense to the Lord. What does that mean? Read the passage again. My sons and daughters, do not be negligent now. For the Lord has chosen you to stand before Him, to serve Him, that you should minister to Him and burn incense. So what does that mean, to burn incense? Well, in those days, when they would go into the temple, the priests would take the incense canister, they would put incense in it, and it would bring a wonderful aroma throughout the temple. And when you walked into the temple, there were things that would you would see that would draw your attention to the Lord. There were things you would smell, and it would bring your attention to the Lord. Did you know that the incense that the Lord had in the temple, He declared that no one was to ever make it for anything else except for the temple. So when you went into the temple, there was the smell of God. Permeated the place. And one day we're going to experience that. One day we're going to experience that. And so, but if you, let's look at a passage of Scripture in Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lord, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of saints. So the incense that offered before the Levite, the incense that you offer, it's not like you go home and you start melting or putting on fire a little incense. You could. No problem with that. But actually what he's talking about is that your prayers are a sweet-smelling savor before the Lord. Your prayer, every time you pray, God's like, man, that smells good. I love that. Also in Revelation chapter 8, verse 3, then another angel having a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. He offered the incense with the prayers in Revelation 8, 4, and the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hands. There will come a time, and I believe this, when you pray. So let's just say you're praying for a person and that person has a bowl and you keep praying and praying and praying and pretty soon their bowl is filled up, and when that bowl is filled up, it tips out. And your prayers are answered, and that when it's tipped out, the incense of the prayers just go before the Lord. The Lord loves to answer prayer. He loves to answer prayer. He loves your prayers. And so one of the responsibilities that you and I have as children of God is to offer up intercession for the people in our life. We need to offer up intercession for the Chinese. We need to offer up intercession for the friends and family around us. That's a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord. So the last thing I want us to look at, in verse 12, rise up, O men, women of God. After Hezekiah gave them this command, you know what the Levites did? They rose up. They rose up. A lot of times we can sit in church, hear a message that doesn't affect us. We just go home. We go home the same way we came. But the Lord is telling you, sons and daughters of God, it's time to rise up. It's time to sanctify yourself. It's time to stand in the presence of the Lord. It's time to minister to the Lord. It's time to minister for the Lord. It's time. It's time to offer incense up to the Lord. It's time. The time is now. The time is now. The time is now. So what are you going to do? Will you rise up? People of God, will you rise up? Will you take the mantle that the Lord has placed upon you, and will you do what He's called you to do? Will you rise up? Father, I come before you today. Lord, I thank you for your word to us. I thank you for your protection over us. Lord, I thank you that we don't have to be fearful or afraid. Lord, I pray that those listening today, those who are in this congregation, those who are going to be listening on the recording, Lord, I pray that every one of us would rise up, take the mantle that you've called us to wear. Be bold in our declaration of you. Be bold service to you. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' holy name. This morning, maybe some things in your heart you need to... The Lord says, I've set you apart. Would you set yourself apart? Would you daily sanctify yourself and prepare yourself for what God has called you to do? Keep your ears open. Allow Him to direct your steps. Let's stand together as we sing. If there's some things that you need to just talk to the Lord about, I'm going to open the altar here for you. You can come pray. If you want me to pray for you, I'm here to do that as well.